DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
And welcome to Not Another Podcast, the 200th episode! Yay! I am James.
I am Dan.
I am Sam.
And I am Bryce.
Wow, it's
hey,
like
we did it this time.
Yeah. Not bad, not bad.
It's
not
like
bad.
We practiced it.
We should probably have an order. That we an order of operations.
What?
Nah.
That's crazy talk.
That is followed every time.
That is that's what professionals do.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
none of us are getting paid, so fuck that noise.
Serious, man.
Okay, so a lot has happened since the last time we met.
Mm-hmm.
There was a holiday that had a lot of eating.
Since you've been gone.
Oh, sorry.
Bryce sang. By the way, isolate that.
Put that shit on loop. Just play the 200th episode. Welcome to the 200th episode. And Bryce sings it all the way through.
Yeah, just Bryce singing since you've been gone.
Hey, you can breathe for the first time, all right?
Fuck yeah, I can.
All nice.
Right? I don't need no man to keep me down. God damn it.
And isolate
I'm
that.
An independent woman.
And yes, that. You are.
You're going to put a ring on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah, I am. I already got one on myself.
A cock ring.
Hey, don't kink shame, all right? No kink shaming in this podcast.
Brings a whole new meaning to it. If you it, put a ring on it. You know?
I was kink glorifying, thank you. It's a whole different animal.
We were shedding light upon your debauchery.
Last time we met, though, Bryce brought up a fantastic topic.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce, would you care to elaborate?
What is something that people love that you hate? For example, a TV show that people have glorified over the years, or just a current one that people can't get enough of that you think is garbage or you just don't like.
Fair enough.
On our 200th episode, we're going to be four hateful fucks.
Well, at least it's not outside the norm.
Yeah. This will probably be our last episode. Yeah,
yes, ever. Thank you, and goodbye.
So who wants to start this off?
Well, Bryce, since it was your topic, I think you should be the one to lead us in this discussion.
All right. So I'm probably going to get a pushback from a few of you.
Fuck you, Bryce.
Let him get it out first.
Let's start with
I'm just
one.
Against Bryce in general.
I disagree strongly.
Ouch.
Bryce, I got your back, man.
You're my political buddy.
Mine, I'm going to start this off with Seinfeld. I think it is an overrated TV show.
No pushback from me, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never watched a lot of it. I actually just started it on Hulu.
You're not missing anything.
Right?
Not really.
Like it's something I had on in the background. I never, there's a couple funny moments, but I kind of feel like Jerry Seinfeld in general is a little overrated.
Overrated. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I will say that
Stan's a character too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will say that as a whole show, as a whole series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. I would not go so far as to say that I hate it. There's really good stuff in it, and there's decent writing, but
there's a few episodes or a few moments that are funny, but I think overall it's a really mediocre show.
Mildly entertaining if you're, just trying to veg the fuck out to something unnecessary in your life. Yeah, I'm going to have to fully agree with you on that one, Bryce.
I think if you went through and you took out all the mediocre episodes and just let the really strong ones stand, you'd probably have two seasons. And that ran for, 8 years, Bryce?
thereabouts.
Seven, something like that.
Yeah, 8 or 9. Yeah. So, yeah, I think if you just went through and called all the
good bits.
Just the mediocre, and just let the cream of the crop, you'd have probably 2 good seasons.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
So, but yeah, I'm sorry, Bryce. I can't get on and say I hate it, but I will agree that it is kind of overrated.
Yeah, I won't say that. I guess I can't say that I hated it. It just wasn't. I don't think it was very good. It ran for 9 seasons.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm gonna stand alone on that one with you as far as to say that. For me, it became kind of like nails on a chalkboard every time someone's like, oh, God, I got to watch fucking Seinfeld. It's like, yeah. Really?
And all the Seinfeld references even recently.
Yeah.
Here, I'm just like, it's an old, worn-out show that was never great to begin with.
I think it definitely dragged on at least 1 season too long, maybe even 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we're in mutual agreement that Seinfeld is kind of garbage.
I'm pretty surprised about that. I figured at least one of you guys would be pro.
Fair enough.
Again, I won't say that it's garbage, but I won't say it's like the best thing that ever hit TV.
Well, and that's the thing. We're not talking about just trash. We're talking about just something that's overrated. That's like,
yeah,
cool, that you genuinely think is substandard.
So, and the thing is, Jerry Seinfeld, he recognized that he could not take that show any longer, and he chose to shut it down. So, yeah. Like, good for him.
Yeah, but it's too bad he recognized that, like, a season or two too late.
Well, yeah. Exactly. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Sometimes you don't know until you're in it, and you're like, oh, shit, what did I do? And, you know, he pulled the plug, and I think that was the right choice, unlike The Office, which went, like, 4 seasons too long. but I also like comedians and cars getting coffee, so...
You know, I got one, and I'm going to preface this by I did not give any of this any thought. I've been really busy, and I wanted to give this a lot more thought, but I didn't, so my apologies up front, but I got one. David Letterman.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that as well.
I can't, for the life of me, I can't find any reason why anyone thought he was funny and why he was like, considered the king of late night for as long as he was.
I preferred Leno over Letterman.
He just made lists.
See, and honestly...
Yeah. His monologues were never funny.
Yeah. That's true. And, people still hold him up
as like the second coming of Carson.
I'll agree with you to a point, but for me it was a matter of when I used to watch Letterman as a kid, you know, his lists were funny and his guests were entertaining mildly. So honestly, that's what I was standardized for late night TV. It's like him and Jay Leno, and it's like, for me, both of them were kind of meh. As I got older, the more I realized I just didn't really give a fat roasty shit about either one of them.
You know what
but...
I will say about Letterman? Since he's been off of the late night TV, he's done a couple of Netflix things. He's an amazing interviewer when he's not trying to be funny.
Fair enough.
When he's just doing a straight up sit down interview, that episode he did with Obama, fucking amazing.
Fair enough.
But I never saw the appeal of him as a late night host or a comedian.
That's fair.
Fucking Paul Schaefer, shoot that fucker in the face.
Yeah.
Not a good musician and fucking just stepping all over Letterman's jokes.
To be fair, my number one favorite late night host has always been Conan O'Brien.
Give me Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
I fucking love Craig Ferguson.
Craig Ferguson before the robot.
No, I loved him with the robot, but I'll tell you what, if he keeps doing stand-up, that's where the magic is.
Fair enough.
I saw his last one. I haven't seen his most recent one.
Dude, get a chance, watch all of them. He is incredibly
same
funny.
Time.
All at once.
All at once.
One day. Just 12 screens.
Okay,
just
Samantha, Dan, which one of you wants to go?
All right, I'll take the next hit. The movie Avatar.
Yes.
I felt that movie was a complete blowhard. I mean, it was Dances with Wolves with blue aliens. I really, really fucking hated it because when I went into the theater, everyone was talking about how fucking amazing it was and how great the 3D was, and I went and saw the 3D, and I left going, where's Kevin Costner? Pretty sure he was supposed to be in this.
He was one of the animals they rode.
Jesus. And again, it was just a matter of the story felt so recycled and just repurposed with graphics that were okay. I mean, we've had talks about it. James and I have had talks about it where it's like, you know, CGI is a good midway for special effects.
It's a good tool, but
it's a good tool.
Way exactly. Overused.
And when you overuse it, it just tends to make your shit look stupid.
And I think
and
that's
me,
why the new Star Wars movies are working, because they're
using practical effects.
They're using a really great combination of both.
Yeah, exactly.
They're using practical, but they're using CGI to clean it up.
Well, and on top of that, they're doing CGI where it won't matter, like in space.
Yeah.
That's okay. We can roll that, but you start using it on the ground, and it's like, okay. Avatar, fuck that movie and everything it is.
Okay,
sorry.
I've never seen Dances with Wolves, so I liked Avatar. Here's my problem with Avatar. When you get a combination of real people next to CGI people,
uh-huh.
it's very apparent that it's CGI.
Especially when you go back and look at it now versus when it first came out.
Yeah.
You think about over the decades how the CGI quality has improved drastically.
Uh-huh.
You look at a CGI movie from the late 90s and you're like, this is shit.
Look at Independence Day.
Exactly.
No.
Used to be so good.
Stop. Because Independence Day was the last movie with practical effects. So if you're seeing CGI in there,
oh yeah,
you're not...
Oh, no, it was CGI. It's mostly in the dogfight between the jets and the fighters, or the alien fighters. A couple of them turned straight up flat gray because they just didn't have the tech to give them grit.
That's a mix of CGI and practical effects.
Oh, aye.
But all the explosion shit?
Oh, yeah, no, that stuff was great. Yeah. No, it was just small things where it's like you can't help but see it now.
Blatantly visible.
Yeah. But, no, Avatar at the time was... As far
I thought
as
it was great when it came out.
From a CGI standpoint, when you took the living people out and were just focusing on the big blue rape aliens.
Stick your dick in its neck.
It looked really pretty.
Yeah.
But then you get the real people in there and it's like, oh yeah, this is, you know.
That looks terrible.
It suffered the same thing that I think the prequels did in that you can tell how much CGI there is when seeing the real people. Even, like, sets.
Yeah,
you got
the Star
real
Wars
people,
prequels, oof.
You got real people walking around in this CGI jungle.
Right.
It's the same as when, you know, you're watching people walk through CGI halls. In.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, the prequels really pushed hard to make those, you know, their CGI sets feel like those people were there, but there are times, especially when you're watching them on floors, watch the shadows on the floors,
uh-huh.
and it's very apparent that it's like, oh yeah, it's CGI.
Yeah. And again, that was my big issue with it. It's like, honestly, every person I had talked to around the time that Avatar came out, they had never seen a greater movie in their entire life. They had gone back to see it multiple times. It's like, so I finally caved, went in, saw it, and walked out going, what the fuck movie did you guys watch? Because that was a hot pile of garbage. And again, it did one of those things that bugs me too. Where it's like, when a movie is slated to come out in 3D, they play to the 3D a little too much. Like, they'll do the thing where it goes towards the camera, but has no real reason to go at the camera, but it does. Because they're trying to boost up the 3D level, and it's like, dude, give me a story, don't give me visual effects. That's what I'm here for. That's what I paid for. And all I'm getting is fucking Michael Jackson 3D
I went
back
to,
in the day.
I saw Avatar. I never saw a trailer for Avatar. I heard people talk about it. I went to see it. I liked it, but it wasn't changed my life.
Yeah. And I think that's what I was hearing more of.
What I felt coming out of it, I think it was James Cameron suffered the same thing that George Lucas suffered, and that's, I've got all this great technology, I'm going to focus on that. Story should have been given another pass or two.
One or two. And again, the fact that I did grow up watching Dances with Wolves, and I loved that movie when I was a kid because I thought it was cool as shit. Going in and watching Avatar, it's like, okay, so Soldier wants to break off, realizes he likes the native people, joins the native people, starts fighting on their side. This is Dances with Wolves. Fuck you.
Or The Last Samurai, either one.
Or The Last Samurai, or any of those other, white people go in to save the day.
Anytime a soldier breaks off and, you know, joins the native people, it's the same story. Samantha, you're up. What do you got?
I'm going to switch gears a little bit and move to music.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to say
Herkimer.
Someone who's... Because I assume we're going to do more than one round. Otherwise, we'll just end the show now.
Thank you. This has been 200.
Current Beyoncé is overrated. She's
yes!
Good.
Yes! Yes!
She has an amazing singing voice. Just listen to her from Dreamgirls. When she performed the song Listen, it just chills. It's beautiful. She is a very talented person, not using a single bit, or using very little bit of that talent because of who her husband is.
And I'm going to go ahead and claim ignorance here. I haven't really listened to Beyoncé since Austin Powers.
There's like two songs that I've liked in the past since she first came out. She had her first solo album, which was more singing, more pop, and I liked that better. But it was after the Jay-Z era, you know. And I'm sorry, but she has every capability to match like the old school 70s, 80s, 90s divas.
Uh-huh.
But she doesn't use her talent to do that.
I'm going to be straight up. I haven't liked her since she left Destiny's Child.
I liked her first solo album. After that, it was the ghettoification of her that I didn't like, and I think her music has suffered from it.
That's fair.
I agree.
Good man. Good man.
She's gonna auto-tune Beyoncé. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
She has all the capabilities and skills and talent to do some amazing stuff, and I just don't think she uses it.
Okay, Bryce, we're back to you. What do you got?
Round two.
I got two.
Round
that
two,
I'm
fight.
Around. This one's a little more either focused towards Dan or focused towards everybody. I'm going to go with everybody.
Uh-oh.
I am going to say Guns N' Roses.
That's fair. To be honest with you, I mean, the only thing I've ever really liked about Guns N' Roses was Slash. I thought Axl Rose was kind of a blowhard, so, I mean, I'm kind of with you on that one.
I will say they've had a huge impact on a lot of other artists.
Oh, absolutely.
Which has definitely been a huge benefit for other artists that I've enjoyed. But I just think, in general, they're overrated.
I only know them of the... I only know their hits. I don't know anything deeper.
Well, then you know them.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Essentially, what you've heard on the radio is Guns N' Roses wrapped up in a nice little box.
Okay. All right. Fair. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind them. I like it. When it comes on the radio, it's like they're a novelty at this point.
I'm actually going to disagree with Bryce here.
Fair enough.
I figured you would.
Having
you'd get one of us eventually.
Yeah, having been into music when Guns N' Roses broke and following them, I think
they're... that may be the difference too.
It might have been a generational
kind of
gap
with them. That yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to point that out, but thank you for doing so.
Old man.
I really am. No, I will say that Guns N' Roses has significant cultural impact.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only did they kind of change the game in the late 80s when they broke, but their second album, the double album, showed their range. Appetite for Destruction was a very raw, down and dirty rock and roll album, and it was solid.
It was solid.
And my problem with them is they went too big too fast.
Fair enough.
Use Your Illusions 1 and 2. You scrape off all the crap. You've got a solid fucking album.
Fair enough. Yeah,
but
I don't know.
It was like, no, we've got all these songs. We're just going to fucking record them all and make everyone buy both CDs. And I will say this. The majority of the good songs were on Use Your Illusion 2.
Fair enough.
That's an album I can listen to all the way through. Use Your Illusion 1, a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
And that's also when I think their downfall started, because that tour became just all about Axl and his fucking diva-like behavior and riots and them hardly playing a full show.
Yeah. And again, I think that was one of the big things for me that always kind of turned me away from Guns N' Roses when I was growing up, because it was a matter of, you know, I had heard their songs. I liked their songs, at least the ones that got played on the radio. And then it was the stupidest fucking thing. I was very fickle as a child. I was watching the Behind the Music on Metallica, and the show where James Hetfield got torched on his arm. The guys were talking about, it's like, all right, you know, we've had a really big fucking problem here. We need, you know, Guns N' Roses to come out and save the fucking day. And Axl Rose comes out, does two songs, and walks off. And he's like, my voice hurts. Takes a drag off a cigarette. Takes a drink off his fucking martini. And I was like, wow, what a piece of shit.
Yeah, and...
And from that point, fuck Guns N' Roses.
I will absolutely, hands down, say that the reason Guns N' Roses fell apart was Axl Rose.
Oh, yeah.
If...
I think he even had, Axl knows that now.
I think I really feel like if he had someone to smack him in the face and go, dude,
seriously,
things might have gone differently. But everyone played to his ego. Everyone just kind of let it slide. Everyone in the band just like, well, that's Axl.
Yeah.
You know, it took a lot for those guys to go, you know what? I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fair.
So, I will say that. Musically, I mean, again, I get it. Bryce is a lot younger. He doesn't...
James likes Guns N' Roses.
Really get it. Unlike you, I'm a fan of Slash.
Well, absolutely.
And again, I think there was a really strong dynamic in the writing team at the time with Slash, Izzy, and Duff.
Yeah.
You know, those three guys, I mean, Axl gets a lot of credit, but it was really those guys who wrote those albums.
Oh, yeah.
Know? So, I get it. I understand how someone of Bryce's age or, you know, could not be into or think they're overrated.
Oh, yeah.
And I do think there is a generational thing. But I also think that maybe given time, Bryce... Okay. Go ahead, Samantha.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Oh, shit. Okay, he's older than I thought he was.
James, how old are you?
Old enough to be your daddy.
No, you're not. That would be a child bride.
How old are you, Sam?
Possible.
What?
How old are you?
I just turned 34.
Yeah, I'm 10 years older.
Wow, I'm 33.
Oh, okay, you and so, Samantha could right. still not hook up.
What's up?
You just bookmarked that.
Okay, so bookmark. 10-year difference is a decent amount of time. Okay, I was just like, wait, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely
what
we're
talking about here. Because, like, I enjoy Guns N' Roses. I like it when they come on the radio, but I never, they were not, like, within my formative years of music.
That's
fair.
I think that might be a part of the difference, right. too, is I don't enjoy when they come on because the one rock station we had here, it was AC/DC, Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
And Metallica.
Alternating, like, every other song.
And we got less and less Metallica as time went on, and more Guns N' Roses, more, yeah. I even think
Are
they
we
used
talking
to...
the station I worked at?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Okay, then you're fucking wrong.
Towards the last years, bro.
No,
when you weren't there, it got fucked up.
You mean the 6 months I wasn't there?
Yeah, and then they
because
lost
it was
their
literally 6
died.
Months from the time I got fired before it flipped.
Yeah, and then it fucking barrel nose down.
I'm not saying that it's a coincidence.
Rest in peace, ye old rock
I'll
station.
Say it.
But still, it's one of those things where, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. Again, I've always had a very strong appreciation for Slash, as well as the older songs in general, because they are phenomenal musicians.
You know what's really funny?
They're kind of blowhards.
Is I like Guns N' Roses. I have not heard anything from Slash post-Guns N' Roses I've liked. And I love Slash as a guitar player, but none of his solo albums, I fucking hated Velvet Revolver.
I really didn't like Velvet Revolver, but that wasn't because of the riff. It was because I really didn't care much for the style itself. It just felt like...
It did not fit.
Yeah,
those,
it just didn't
those
work.
Those musicians, yeah.
And I appreciate that they were trying something new, but it just didn't work.
It's really kind of galling to me that I praise Slash to the heavens with Guns N' Roses. I've not heard anything since he left that I've liked. And it really kind of hurts my heart.
Well, because I think he's trying to change up himself and change up his style, because the style that he ran with Guns N' Roses is Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm.
That sound, that technique, that way of playing. So I think he purposefully kind of tried to step out of it, end up finding himself falling right back into it, and in some songs, but I think that's why it doesn't quite have the same level of caliber that we're used to.
I do really like him when Miles Kennedy is singing, though.
Fair enough.
And you look at a lot of bands and artists that write their own music. Over the years, they'll sometimes try new things and they flop really bad, even if that's what they want to do. Like Opeth, they've got a label that lets them really try new things. I don't like a lot of their newer music because it has gone in a different direction that I just don't enjoy.
Well, look at a band that a lot more people might know than Bryce's band. Look at Metallica, Load and Reload.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, even Master of Puppets to Black Album was one hell of a switch where they lost a fuck ton of their old thrash fans because they thought they'd gone too soft, and then they went from Black Album to Load and Reload, and it was like, okay, wait a minute, guys, slow the fuck down. And to be fair... We got hit with fucking Saint Anger not long after that.
What was really funny, though, was just from the Black Album to Reload, and it was like, you cut your hair? Fuck it, we're done.
Yeah, no shit, right?
You haven't even heard the album! Nope, you cut your hair, fuck it, we're out.
And again, I'm on the other side of the fence when it comes to Metallica. I've always enjoyed some of the songs that came off of Load and Reload, and there's even a couple of keepers off of Saint Anger and Death Magnetic. I will say...
Saint Anger, I love Death Magnetic. I would say Saint Anger is their weakest, but I think that was because they were going through so many personal changes, they were having a hard time figuring out who they were.
And that's fair.
They were all sobering up at that point.
Absolutely. And again, I'm very much on the page that there are still some redeemable songs off of that. I will say their new album, Hardwired, is definitely a callback to their old school ways, and I fucking love it.
It's a bit more punk rock than thrash, but it's definitely
it's got
a
the
lot
vibe.
More, yeah.
I would say Hardwired is kind of the bridge between Death Magnetic and some of their older stuff, because it's got the Death Magnetic feel, but it's got a lot of the sound of some of their older stuff.
All right.
Yeah, I feel like...
All right, James, so I think we should probably move off of the ye olde Axl Rose. What else do you have that is despised by thee, but not amongst others?
Can we come back to me?
Fuck you. All right, I got a heavy hitter for you. And I'm probably going to get some haterade for this. I think Doctor Who is garbage.
Fuck you!
I will have to say I've never watched it, but it seems overrated. So I'm going to have to go with Dan.
You are so lucky my wife isn't here.
I know, that's why I waited until I made sure she wasn't here.
Also, she's on her way home.
All right, so we got to discuss this shit before she gets here, or I'm going to be in trouble.
She will straight up murder you.
I think I've given Sam a heart attack, too.
I was going to say, it sounds like she's having a panic attack.
Why?
I know, we were friends right up until that moment.
I thought we were friends.
This is the show where we all implode.
Well, you know, I was kind of saving that one for, you know, the closer to the end. But to be fair, it has always been one of those shows where I just can't get into it. There is no aspect of it that I'm excited about. And then, you know, finding out once I started watching the newer incarnations, finding out there was a metric fucking ton of old shit. And it was like, oh, God, no, I can't do it. I can't. No.
You don't have to watch the metric ton of old shit, though.
But that's just it. It's one of those things where it's like I've come to understand that I can't get into the new series, and I have a lingering suspicion that I would fucking despise the old series without having watched it. And it's like, I just can't do it. It's like watching the original Star Trek. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big Trekkie, and I love the fuck out of some Star Trek. But watching the original series is fucking hard.
Here's the thing with Doctor Who that...
I guessed on a podcast... For Presents called It's All Been Trekked Before, and they're making their way through original series, through animated series, through all the movies, through Voyage. So they're going through the entire catalog of Star Trek.
That is a slog.
Because they hate themselves.
I'm brand new to Star Trek, because it's something that my parents didn't really watch, or at least not that I remember them watching, but we were more of a Star Wars family. So
that's fair.
And
this is why Samantha and I are friends.
Yeah, and I haven't watched all of the original, but yeah, two of the hosts watch every single one. So it's like, oh, man, that's rough.
You poor bastards.
Are rough.
Dude, they are so fucking hard to watch sometimes. It's like, dude. I and again, I'm a big Star Trek fan. Everything past the original series, minus the animated series, because that was garbage too. Everything past that, I've gotten into. DS9 for me is a little hard to swallow at times because it's the gas station and the universe that I really couldn't give a fat, roasty fuck about. But the rest of the shows are actually pretty solid, save for Enterprise, which, again, hot garbage. And Discovery, fuck them for making me pay for a show that should be free. Yeah. Anyway.
But I feel better now. Like, I've watched the very, very, very first season, and it's rough. I mean, it's very, very old. So it was a little like, oh, my gosh. But you only need to start from 2005.
Again.
I'm going to cry a little bit.
I like David Tennant because he's the voice of Scrooge McDuck, not because he's Doctor Who.
And he's also the bad guy in Jessica Jones.
That's fair.
Kilgrave, yeah. He did good this, Kilgrave.
He also played Barty Crouch Jr. in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Yes, he did. And again, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of appreciation for David Tennant. I actually think he is very talented, very skilled. I just couldn't give a shit about the show.
So she won't totally kill you.
No,
she'll
again,
just leave you to die.
I genuinely do enjoy David Tennant.
Mostly dead.
But that show, yeah.
Here's the thing about Doctor Who that I discovered. Because my wife and I started watching it, I think it was on Netflix, and we got to watch the newest incarnation, starting with Christopher Eccleston.
Okay.
I hated Christopher Eccleston as Doctor Who.
That's fair.
I went into it cold. I knew nothing about it except that
so
he was the Doctor,
yeah,
and he regenerated. I didn't know anything about the Time Lord or anything like that.
Right.
So I'm watching it, and honestly, as much as I hated him, I kind of liked the show.
All right.
I didn't really start liking it until David Tennant took over. And I loved David Tennant, and I liked Matt Smith. Hated fucking Peter Capaldi. I watched like 5 episodes of Peter Capaldi, and I'm like, I'm done. My wife has seen every one. The newest series with Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor is fucking amazing.
All right. Again, I think for me, no. It not firing on any cylinders for me. I mean, it got to the point where it's like, usually I try to give something at least a fighting chance. And most of the time I've justified this by telling my wife, I'll give any series 3 episodes. If I don't like it by the 3rd episode, maybe put it on the back burner. But if I get through 5 or 6 episodes and I still don't fucking like it, I can't do it. And that's what I did with like Firefly, for instance. Because I had watched Serenity before watching the show, so I had no fucking idea what the hell was really going on.
If you say you don't like Firefly, I'm going to throat punch you.
I don't have a problem with Firefly. I feel like there was room for improvement upon the show. Considering the fact it's only a single season, I can't really hold much against them. Having watched the show, it is enjoyable, and I do have fun with it. I would have liked to have seen where it would have gone, but I could tell that towards the end of season 1, it was already starting to fall into a bit of a formula. Which isn't a bad thing, because, again, it was still enjoyable. But I couldn't get through Doctor Who. I couldn't get through even a half a season of Doctor Who.
Is that my
wife
coming up this
time? All right, moving on. But, again, it's
Brian,
just...
Brian, I have something to tell you!
This was just,
don't worry,
know,
Samantha, I'll tell her.
The concept of the show today, number 200, bringing things up that are unpopular opinionized.
And
I win.
The highlight of the show will be Dan's death on the air.
So okay, yeah.
Samantha, you got one?
Harry Carey.
Sam?
I was speaking and you were speaking and I didn't hear you speak to me.
I think I threw her off.
Sounds like
you guys are having some trouble.
Unpopular opinion.
One unpopular opinion that I do get a lot of, like, pearl grasps about is I think the Harry Potter movies are not great.
Agreed. I love the book series through and through. After number 2, they went to shit. Deathly Hallows wasn't bad.
The first one's enjoyable. The second one's like, okay. Parts of the Goblet of Fire. The Goblet of Fire is also my favorite book in the series. But after that, it just goes off the rails, and it's a little insane. I saw the first
half of the last one they split up into like a million movies. And when they moved into that cartoon to do their what's it called? Not a narration dump.
Exposition?
What's Thank you. To do their exposition dump, I was like, I'm out. This is stupid. This is lazy. I don't think they're great. And Fantastic Beasts was just okay.
And, you know, to be fair, I'm not disagreeing with the Fantastic Beasts notion because it is okay. I will say the new one is a little bit more enjoyable, however frustrating.
Yeah.
But
I haven't seen it yet.
Haven't seen it yet.
I want to see it.
It's worth the watch.
I've enjoyed the characters. Yeah, I thought the characters were well cast. They were well performed. But I just didn't think the movie as a whole was... I thought it was okay.
This is the problem with any property that's taken from a book and translated into a movie. There's always far more in the book than they can cram into the movie. And
true.
A lot of times the stuff that they take out is what makes the book great, and a lot of times leaves the movie flat.
Well, and again, for me, my biggest beef against the movies was the third movie, because you got to understand, when I didn't start reading Harry Potter right out the gate, it wasn't until after I saw the first and second movie that I was like, all right, I'm going to pick up book three and see how we like it, because I enjoyed the first two movies. I thought they were funner than shit. So I picked up the third book, and I fucking loved that book. It still stands as my favorite out of the series, just because Prisoner of Azkaban has such a turn for the dark. And I was looking forward to the movie. I was like, fuck yes, they're going to do it upright, just like they did with the first one. I read through the series at the time, which was only to book four. So I read through to four, Goblet of Fire, and then I reread the first two books, and then I rewatched the first two movies. I was like, okay, they did miss a decent amount of shit, but they held pretty good. And then the third movie comes out, and I have never left a theater more disappointed in my entire fucking life. They took my favorite book and just took a steamy dump all over it, and I was fucking pissed.
So really, that's odd, because that movie is the closest of any of the movies to the book.
Not even. Not fucking even.
Dude, I don't know
they
which
missed
book
so much out of that.
The stuff they missed was minuscule.
They missed the establishment of, you know, the smaller bits, like, you know, Sirius kind of showing up but not really being there, seeing the black dog but not sure you actually saw it.
They did that in the movie.
In like a fucking 2 second scene, and then, well, that was it. Thank you. Just be weary of this fucking guy. And then instantly they're in the house and he's already, it was garbage.
The problem with the movies is that they have a habit of introducing something and then never bringing it up again or ever hinting as to why it's important.
Right, and that was my big issue. There was a lot of shit they skipped.
She kind of did that in the books as well.
Well, that was the thing. I loved book three so much, I reread the son of a bitch. I think to date I've read that one book four times. I've read everything else at least two or three.
Here's my problem with the books versus the movies. The books got progressively darker.
Mm-hmm.
She did a really good job of aging the characters with her mm-hmm. audience and getting progressively darker with her
and
subject
bringing
matter.
Up the duress, yeah.
But the movies didn't do that.
Nope.
You went from the first two, which were bright and, oh, everything's, you know.
Yeah, you got some problems, but it was workable.
To Prisoner of Azkaban, which was the...
It was more adventure.
Yeah, but Prisoner of Azkaban was the darkest movie, and then suddenly Goblet of Fire is kind of cheery again in tone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's dark stuff in it, but it's, you know, it's like sports ball the movie in the magic world.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then Bryce. Book five. Sorry, Bryce, go, please.
Sam.
Go ahead.
What?
No, he said earlier he had a confession, and I was trying to find a break, and I'm so sorry. I totally interrupted you, so my bad.
That's all right.
You just
want to
hear his confession?
Confess!
I have never read the series.
Aw.
That's okay.
I started the first book, and I just could not get into it.
That's okay. I've tried really hard to get my wife to read them, and she hasn't done it. However, I think she does it out of spite. She just refuses to even try them. Because I love them so much. I'm not sure how that works out for me, but, you know. No, it's totally understandable. And, again, a lot of people I've talked to about it are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I watch the movies.
It's a large investment in time.
I will say when the last book came out, I bought Deathly Hallows the day after it came out. I got it in my hot little hands at noon, started reading it at 12:30, and I finished at 2 a.m. that night.
Same here. Yep, it was a matter of if I had it pre-ordered.
I could not put the thing down. I tried, but I just kept reading. It's like, no, okay, next chapter.
Yeah.
I'll finish this chapter, and then I'll... Okay, this chapter, I completely lost all track of time. 2 a.m. comes around. My wife is in bed. I'm like, oh, shit, I read the whole thing. And here's the shit thing. I only bought one copy of the book, so I can't talk to my wife about it until she reads it. Yeah, and she's a slow fucking reader.
Dude, that was the same problem I had. I actually pre-ordered the Half-Blood Prince, and I did the exact same thing. Only difference was is I am kind of a slow reader, so I started at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on my day off. I had the day off next to it. And it was a matter of I started reading it, and before I realized it, I was laying in bed because my wife told me I should come to bed, but I took it with me, and I was reading in bed, and before I realized it, it was getting a lot lighter on my pages. I had literally stayed up until about 7:30 the following day just fucking marathon reading it, and I finished it, and that book fucking broke my heart. It was like, what? No,
I know, that was a rough
I had
book.
To reread the son of a bitch. It was like, no, oh, what the fuck? Dude, I was kind of having a moment. I was exhausted, sleep deprived, and I was having a moment, and I wanted to wake my wife up, but it was fucking 5:30 in the morning.
I actually feel that Half-Blood Prince is probably the darkest of all seven books. Deathly Hallows is close, but...
Yeah, Deathly Hallows had some nasty bits to it, and honestly, I'd probably agree
just because
with that.
I'd say the last quarter of it,
it's pretty hard.
It gets hard, you know. But
anyway, Harry Potter fandom.
I've got one that is completely overrated
We gotta go back. Sam has a confession to make too.
Make your confession.
We keep going over these.
I do have a penchant for series burnout. So when I read a lot of the same characters over and over again, I tend to just be like, okay, my brain needs to move on to something else. That's why I hop from book to book so often. And I still have never read the final book.
Come on,
there's
Sam. Come on, Sam.
I've
just never read it.
I think you kind of owe it to yourself. It's one of her really more good. Solid reads, but to me, it's the book that says, oh, shit, I wrote myself into this corner. How do I get myself out? Because
And it's executed pretty good, though.
Well, I felt like it was a cop-out. The whole Deathly Hallows thing was a real cop-out because there was no inclination. Because she had done a really good job of setting stuff up. And in book seven, you go like, oh, yeah, she talked about that all the way in book one. But suddenly, out of the blue, this is the way to save Harry Potter.
Again, don't spoil it for because it's way better in the book.
Confession over. Let's move on to the next round.
All right, James, fire on.
I got to finish here, so finish the round. here's something I fucking hate. fucking hate, and
Bryce,
I wish
cover
it would
your ears.
Burn. Twilight.
Yes.
Fuck Twilight.
Yes. Yeah. Well played. Well played. Okay. Let's get a round of applause for the Twilight hate in the room. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Fucking sparkly vampires. Terrible. And I want to eat you, but I love you.
Bullshit.
And this fucking wolf is going to fall in love and fucking want to rape our baby, our vampire fucking baby. No. Fuck Twilight.
Scream it on high,
the
James.
The fucking woman who wrote that is a lonely fucking twat. She needs to die.
James, one of these days, I really, really hope that you get to a point where you can tell me how you really feel about Twilight.
One day I might. So the movies were coming out. Blech. They were getting a lot of buzz.
Blech.
And I went, okay, I owe it to my profession to go see this movie. So I know what I'm talking about.
You
and
poor
maybe
bastard.
It'll be a good movie.
You poor bastard.
But I knew it was based on a series of books.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let's get the books. They were on sale. We got all the books. And because I'm a fast reader, I got through it. I will say, despite the sparkly fucking vampire bullshit, book one, kind of a decent romance.
All right.
It is.
Not a great vampire book.
Meh.
But it's a decent romance.
It's a romance novel with vampires attached.
And then they just got progressively fucking worse. And it was this fucking love triangle with no end. And then suddenly there's an end because the two main characters have a baby and the other love interest is like, oh, I'm in love with the baby.
Yeah, no. And again, I
didn't finish that book. I hucked it across the room and said, fuck Twilight. Told my wife, you don't even have to fucking read that bullshit. Never saw any of the movies.
Nah.
Oh, the movies are so bad.
Oh, dude.
I've only seen the first two, and I've seen clips of other ones. I've seen enough of the first one to go, fuck that noise.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Twilight.
Well, I've read all of the books, and I will say the author, structurally, readability-wise, she is a nice writer. You can get through her work very easily.
Now, I haven't read The Host, which is supposed to be pretty decent.
The Host is on my bookshelf right now. I'm looking at it. I have not read it, but I do like Stephanie Meyer's writing. She is a very easy read.
Fair enough.
But she's a lonely old fucking crazy cat lady.
I mean, just the thing that those books are teaching young women, that you have to have a boyfriend. If you don't have a boyfriend, there's something wrong with you. You should kill yourself if you don't have a boyfriend.
Again, see, this is a lonely woman with 40 cats who's never even kissed a boy.
Oh, no.
And she lives in this fucking...
Why do I picture Stephanie Myers looking like Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers?
Probably because that's what she fucking looks like.
I was thinking Drew Barrymore from Never Been Kissed.
Ooh,
or that
good
too.
One, good one, good one.
Oh, but the hype and the fact that fucking 50 Shades of Grey, that series, is a fucking fan fiction for Twilight?
Mm.
Fuck all that shit! Fuck it!
You know,
both of my picks, but okay.
I'll, well, good picks to be had, really.
Yes, they are. I'm okay with them being taken because I was going to talk about them, so it's all good.
To be fair, I do kind of have one other that I would throw in this ring where, again...
Well, it's not your turn, it's Bryce's turn.
All right, fine, Bryce, get to it.
Oh, shit, I guess I
gotta. Now you care about format.
Think about it!
Content. Fuck, if you got something, go ahead. I'm going to need a few minutes to figure something out.
Yeah, he's got
to
figure it out so it doesn't, piss you off too bad. Because remember, he had two.
Do what?
He just beat me to it.
Oh, he was going to say Harry Potter.
Oh, gotcha. No, this one, it's not a hatred. It's a general distaste for the overall writing style. I actually think Stephen King is overrated. I love
Fuck
it.
Fuck you.
I love his stories in concept, but he does some stupid shit in his stories that I feel lessen his story writing. Things like It. And I'm going to bring that one up because that one's probably my least favorite aspect of it. The whole, well, how we'll bond is we'll all have sex in this sewer.
Okay.
So we don't ever have to go. These are children having sex in a sewer.
So they don't have
to fucking ever feel like they're apart from each other.
That's some fucked up writing. I fucking love It.
I do too.
Except that part.
That's what I'm talking about,
no
though.
No fucking sense at all.
He does stuff like that in a lot of his stories. And for me, it's like everyone says he's the greatest. And it's like, to be honest with you, I've read better. I've read more on-point horror novelists than Stephen King. Stephen King has a bad habit of pushing that uncomfortable boundary to see just how far he can push you before pulling you back and giving you something worth reading.
Also, is it weird that I've never been frightened by a Stephen King book?
Exactly, and that's another thing, too. How are you going to call yourself the master of horror? And, motherfucker, I get more of a rise out of Hell House than you.
He has never called himself the master of horror. Other people have.
Again.
He writes from left to right across the board all different genres.
Again.
Yeah,
because
you're talking about the guy, the
point.
Same
Other
guy who wrote It is
horror.
Also the same guy who wrote what is essentially Stand By Me.
Aye. And again, he has some solid fucking moments that are absolutely beautiful.
The Shawshank Redemption is his.
Again, another really
good
one.
It's a fantastic read.
has some issues for me, but honestly, overall, not a bad book. My big problem,
have you ever
too,
thought that maybe it's you who has the issues and not Steve?
Well, I know it's me, but that's why this is my unpopular opinion. Again, things like the Dark Tower series. I will always
way
bring up
that. Way too fucking
that.
Long.
Well, way too fucking long, and what a dick punch of a fucking ending. Like,
oh, it's not over.
To me, it's the most despicable, despisable pile of fucking garbage because that ending was garbage.
But see, that's the thing. That series is not over. He's gone on record saying, no, I'm not done with the Dark Tower series.
Oh, no, he's just going to rewrite The Gunslinger, The Drawing of the Three, The Wasteland. And I don't fucking care at this point because that story, it had a decent buildup. There was a lot of good story context in it. And they had this massive buildup, and you're ready for a fucking great payoff, and he just slaps you in the face, kicks you in the balls, and says, thank you for buying my book. It's like, fuck you.
To be fair...
I do prefer maybe some older Stephen King versus the... But I have heard Mr. Mercedes series is fucking incredible.
Dude, Cujo, Carrie, amazing books. Granted,
The Outsider is supposed to be great, and Sleeping Beauties is a new one that he wrote with his son. I've heard that's really good too. So he's got some solid new stuff. Remember when he went when he was hit by a car, and then he kind of went really weird for a while.
He kept writing about writers who were broken.
And it was just like he got a little too, you know, but
a little too meta.
Yeah, a little too meta. Yeah. And again, that was another thing that pissed me off.
Well,
sorry.
Even before that, he was still writing writers into his stories. I mean, take It, for example.
True enough.
His main character is a horror writer.
Yeah, Bill.
So, I mean, he writes himself into all of his stories. He's essentially, he is to his universe what Stan Lee is to Marvel.
To be fair, though, the thing is with Stephen King, he's not doing anything that any number of other writers, if you really look at it, a writer always writes himself into the story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whether it's a skeptic
I mean,
or
fucking
something like
J.K. Rowling was Harry Potter.
Essentially.
I mean, she says, I identify more with Hermione. But no, well, she was fucking Harry Potter. Huh. And that fucking Stephanie Meyer.
Get her!
Was fucking whatever.
But again, it's
fucking Twilight.
Again, this is my unpopular opinion of something I think is genuinely overrated. I honestly think Stephen King could do with some abridging of his of himself at
well,
times.
You're wrong.
Well, see,
no, he's
just
not.
Saying.
No, there are things about Stephen King, and I will agree. The thing with It is a solid book, and then for no reason
at all,
10-year-olds. Yeah. 10-year-olds who really aren't getting into puberty are running a train on a fucking their female friend. Uh-huh. No, I'm sorry, you lost me there.
Uh-huh. And again, it's just stuff like that where it's like I see these little bits in his books that I've read. Because I've always tried to be a Stephen King fan. Because again, when it comes to horror novelists, there aren't enough popular ones to really kind of hold your ground unless you, you know, are born nowadays and have internet to find these fuckers. Like Richard Matheson, I didn't even know that motherfucker was a horror novelist so much as he wrote, I think it was iRobot and Hell House. Now, Hell House the movie, giant steaming pile of garbage. But the book itself is fucking phenomenal. Like, the horror level, the duress that you feel when you're reading it, it's like I actually had a moment where I was like, okay, whoa, that's a little creepy. William Blatty, same concept, the guy who wrote The Exorcist. That book, fucking amazing. Gives you a reason to be scared. Stephen King, I've read through a lot of his books, and just like you.
Not once have I ever been scared reading a Stephen King book. And it's
I was scared reading parts of The Shining. That's it. I've read a lot of him, too. And yes, there are stories that are for me, and there are ones that are not.
Fair enough.
Because like I said, he spans a very large, you know, array of genre and genre bending and crisscrossing. Sometimes it's not for me, sometimes it is, and you know, so it just depends. I actually watch this guy on YouTube, and he does these. He has a Stephen King show, and he has read every single thing Stephen King has ever published. It took him like 8 years.
Woof.
To read everything.
Page Turner, so, it is not.
You're going to find stuff that's really not for you, and you're going to find stuff that's right in your wheelhouse with them. So it's just,
just depends on what you're looking for. Yeah.
You know what sucks, too?
Man, I love the guy. I adore the guy. But, you know, not everything he writes is for me.
Fair enough. And you know what sucks for me? It was when I was a kid, I had this computer program called F13. And it was just like these weird little fucking games that were just kind of creepy. But there was a book in it called Everything's Eventual. Now, Everything Eventual got published, but it wasn't the same story that was on F13. And I was kind of disappointed because I saw it on the bookcase and I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And I realized it was a bunch of short stories. So I was like, that's cool. I don't mind. And I read Everything's Eventual. And I was like, okay, this is kind of stupid. Autopsy Room 13 or Autopsy Room 3 or something like that. That one was pretty fucking good. But again, none of them were the story that was on F13. And I was like, where the fuck is this, dude? I wanted to finish this. My computer crashed on me long before I could finish it. And yeah, it was just like, I don't know. I feel like, again, I like Stephen King. I like his stories. But I think as a writer and for the praise that he gets, I think he's overrated. I think he's a good writer, not the best. That's my opinion. Eat shit. I'd prefer to read H.P. Lovecraft.
Don't tell me to eat shit. I'm not telling you you're wrong.
Not you. I would never say that to you, Sam. I say it to James.
What he would say is, check your drip pan.
Yes.
Hey, you don't like Doctor Who, so you're not even a human to me anymore.
Oh.
Oh. Ouch.
It's okay, Sam. Bree will kill him when she gets home.
Probably.
Bryce, you got one more?
I'm going to go in a little different direction. This is something that most people think is bad that I enjoy. I like Nicolas Cage.
Flipping the script. You like Nick Cage.
I do. I enjoy his...
Oh, Bree's home. Movies. He doesn't like Doctor Who. Have at him. Oh, my God. If you could see the look.
Like, episode 200. Goodbye, everybody. This has been my last show.
Oh, I'm so hurt.
Sorry, Bree.
I just heard the gun, and I don't know what
she's pissed.
Gun, sword, knife, what's going to be your tool to take him out?
Oh, he'll find out when it happens.
Dang it.
It's just being honest.
Well, that's what you get.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I get for opening my fat mouth.
Okay, so Bryce likes something that a lot of people hate.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
There's a brand new movie called Mom and Dad. The ending is terrible, but it's such a fun, goofy, freaking horror movie. And it's I saw Nicolas Cage was in it, and I was like, yes, play.
I enjoyed, was it Season of the Witch with him and Ron Perlman? I thought it was good.
Okay, but come on, The Wicker Man?
The bees.
Come on, man.
Well, you watch Nicolas Cage because he puts everything into his performance, whether it's good or bad. He commits, and that's what you watch him for.
A good director would have told him, bring it back a touch, bro.
You know, here's the thing about Nick Cage. Love him or hate him, just like any other actor, he's got great roles, and he's got terrible fucking roles.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
And I think a lot of that is really due to the director and what they pull out of him, because he can play like a solid fucking great role.
Dude, 8mm.
Yeah, we talked about
that. Amazing movie.
Hands down, my all-time favorite Nick Cage movie is 8mm.
I would either say that or Raising Arizona, because it shows his range.
It is fucking... He's a great fucking dramatic actor when he's directed well. Mm-hmm. But then you see him in things like... And I fucking love this movie. But you see him in things like Kick-Ass, and he's doing... And you're like...
Well, no, yeah, that's what they hire him for.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
In a box sometimes.
You know, I mean, he goes again... Another great movie that actually does show that he can do a good, solid role, but also ride that fucking crazy line.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock with Sean Connery.
Oh, great movie.
Yes!
Dude,
fucking
Face
fantastic
Off.
Movie. Face Off, exactly.
I love Face Off.
I...
Again, Nick Cage.
Bryce, I think you're in good company here.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of hate for Nick Cage here. I don't think he's the greatest actor, but I don't think I've ever seen a movie of his that I didn't enjoy.
Unpopular opinion, I hate Keanu Reeves. No. Kidding! Kidding!
Dude, that's two strikes! She is going to straight up fly here and murder your ass.
No, I actually like Keanu Reeves.
I do too.
I love him in John Wick.
Yes. Oh, I.
But he's another one that.
He does kind of have a type.
Shit roles. He's not done great. Like when he was Jack Harkness. Like, oh, sorry, but I forgot who directed that Dracula movie. But he was like, Keanu Reeves tried so hard. I didn't have the heart to tell him.
That was Coppola.
Yeah.
Yes, and yes, thank you. And he Coppola was like, he tried so hard. He worked on that accent so hard.
I feel like
what he does.
Keanu is in the same camp with Nicolas Cage, and uh-huh. he can be a really solid good actor.
Oh, fuck yeah.
A lot of it depends on the director, though.
Yeah, because Dracula was
knock, knock.
Kind of a shit show.
Because Constantine was a shit movie, but he was fantastic in it.
I actually really enjoyed Constantine for how stupid simple it was.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I liked Constantine.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
The John Wick movies are fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Watch another one. It was on Hulu. It's called Knock Knock.
You Knock so good. Knock.
I really Who's there? Liked that one.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where the people come to the house?
I don't get it.
Yeah, the two girls or whatever. I haven't watched it, but
I'm jumping on the Bryce bandwagon. I'm gonna say something that I know everyone hates, but I enjoy, and that's Nickelback. I know there's a lot of hate for it.
I went to their concert, front row.
I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I really like their music.
All right, so I'm gonna agree with you because there are a lot of Nickelback songs that I do enjoy. I have never quite understood the haterade except for the fact that they went from, you know, potentially moving in a direction of potential rock gods to pop rock, and they were happy to stay there, and then they stayed there. Catchy. Music still sounds good. I like Chad Kroeger's voice, but I think that's where the hate comes from, is everyone seems to feel like they had potential to be much better rock stars, and they were cool with being pop rock, essentially.
Well, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, whatever gets you paid, gets you paid. I mean,
people cite their hatred for Nickelback as, oh, well, they sold out. So did every single other artist that ever
came to tour. Anytime an artist signs their contract to get money, they've sold out.
If you're
a
known artist, you sold out. Because whoever your company who is paying you to be an entertainment source, they told you what to do, and you did it.
I forget
and
what
they paid you for it.
Discovered is the dream. So what? You're mad because they followed their dream?
I forget who said it, but someone famous once said, when they were accused of being sold out, they went, "Yes, I've sold out every arena I've ever played."
Jason Newsted, Metallica. Every time we go anywhere, every stadium, we sell out. It's like, yeah. Yeah, they do, because that's what you do when you're in entertainment.
I've never understood the hate for Nickelback. I've argued with people over it, because I want to understand.
Right. Again,
their music it's not the greatest, but it's fucking catchy. Some of their newest stuff is pretty hardcore.
Yeah, but again, it's one of those things where I think the older fans felt like they had better potential, and they were cool with being played on like Z100 kind of music. And that's where I think a lot of the haterade comes from, because they had an established metal fan group when they started out. They had really good tunes that were okay, and then they went pop.
Let's look at it. Let's examine that part of it. If you're in a band and you had the potential when they came out, you had the potential to be rock icons. When they came out, they would have been buried.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they would have
and
not
stood
out. And
we never would have heard any more about, they would have like done maybe two albums and been gone. But going the Z100 route means more exposure.
Oh, absolutely.
More money.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Bigger
totally.
Crowds. I'm sorry, if I'm in a band and those are my options and I happen to be kind of good at that.
Shit, right?
Yeah.
Fuck that you know, noise. I wouldn't mind a Ferrari.
Or a giant ass house.
Or a fucking private plane to take me to my shows and shit.
Fuck
so,
yeah. Well,
sell
again,
out?
It was a matter of, they went from I think the song was called Leader of Man.
Which is a terrible fucking song, by the way.
I actually like that song.
I can't stand that song.
I didn't get as much exposure to it. But yeah, they went from that to How You Remind Me to Photograph.
I love that song.
I love these songs.
Photograph is a great song, but there's on that same album, there's better fucking songs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, like, Bullet with a Name on it, for fuck's sake. That shit is legit.
One
and
of
that's
the
off
problems...
of the album with How You Remind Me.
One of the very or few no. problems I have with Nickelback yeah. is the songs that get made into singles are not the best songs on the album.
That's fair.
And that's actually kind of a good thing, because if you buy the album for that single right. and you discover the rest of it, it's like, fuck
exactly.
real. So... I don't get it. I like Nickelback. I'm sorry if you hate them. Fuck you.
I think you're amidst good company here,
bro. I think you're just kind of jealous. So, fucking take your hate, go take your Twilight and your fucking 50 Shades of Grey book and fuck off.
And all your Stephen King and your Doctor Who and go shove it.
Okay. Danny, what's something that you like that most people hate?
Oh...
I don't know that. Samantha?
I'm going to have to go ahead and pass to Sam. I'm going to have to sit and think about it.
I have one more everyone else likes and hate, and then I have a flip. The one that I don't like the not popular opinion, I have to get off my chest. So I don't know why.
Do it.
But I think Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have very little fashion sense, and they dress like morons.
Agreed.
Agreed.
I don't know if that's an overrated thing or I just hate them.
No, you like probably people just think they're hate style them. Gods. People are always complimenting what they're wearing, and they look like morons. They dress so dumb.
To be fair, I don't think it matters what they wear. They just look like morons.
Well, no, it does matter what they wear, because they get so much fucking praise for everything they wear and quote-unquote design. And I'm like, no, you look like idiots. So I think they have just shitty fashion sense. The only time they look good is when someone else dresses them. But I think they have shitty fashion sense, and I think they both dress like idiots. That's that. The flip side, something that I actually really enjoyed and was not expecting to enjoy, but I think I enjoyed it because it was so bad, that gets a lot of hate. Oh, man, now that I think of it, it's a couple things. I really enjoyed the movie The Happening.
That's fair.
I haven't seen it.
It's terrible.
So.
It's great. But I like M. Night Shyamalan. I like
Me too.
Village.
I think that might be my thing. I really enjoy M. Night Shyamalan's movies.
I do too.
For the most part. There's a couple things I did not like. There's a couple I did not like, but I liked The Village, and people hate that movie.
I would say from Sixth Sense on, he's been worthless.
No, I disagree.
Well, that's essentially his entire filmography.
Essentially, yeah.
Because Sixth Sense was
Sixth
his
Sense,
first big release,
Village,
as far as I know.
Signs.
Unbreakable.
I didn't like Split. Lady in the Water. That's the only one I didn't
I
like.
Actually
Split
really
was
loved
fucking
Lady
fantastic.
And, I liked Unbreakable, too. And
oh,
I
dude,
loved it.
Yeah, Unbreakable's fucking fantastic. But Split...
That's another one a lot of people really like. I did not like Unbreakable. But on that note, I saw it when it very first came out. I was young. I didn't understand what was happening. So I feel like that one deserves a rewatch from me.
I think
but
so.
But at the time, I did not like it.
I actually really love Lady in the Water, but that's going to fall into my category because I liked the pure kind of just almost child book storytelling of it. And again, I am a big, big fan of Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Just about anything
that
he's in, I'm a fan.
Good one. I'll give it that one.
Because he makes a movie more enjoyable to watch.
See, I think the problem with M. Night Shyamalan is he's always got to have that weird twist.
That's fair.
With Sixth Sense, it turns out Bruce Willis is dead. With The
Spoiler
Village,
alert.
It turns out that it's,
Spoiler
you know, they're no, fuck it. If you haven't seen it by now, fuck you. That movie's like 20 years old.
Dead the whole time.
Damn it. But it's
but
like
M. Night Shyamalan, yeah, that's his catch. Yes.
That's a
yeah,
shtick.
That's what's gonna happen.
The first movie that I've he's got two movies where I'm still not sure of the twist. And one is, and Bryce, we did a first viewing commentary on it, and it really threw us off. But the first one we saw that was M. Night Shyamalan that I still don't know the twist is Devil.
Oh God,
I liked
that
movie.
Terrible.
I don't think I saw that one.
I liked that movie because it didn't really have a twist.
And I think that's why that movie kind of...
nothing in it.
Well, there was, but it wasn't like... I don't think it was executed as well as he wanted it to be. And I think with another pass or two on the script, it might have been better.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was,
I'd agree to that.
But again, it didn't have the typical M. Night twist. And the other one that I'm kind of, I think I know where the twist is, but I'm not sure, is fucking Split. I fucking love Split. And I think the twist is that he actually has the powers.
Well, and that's what I loved about Split was M. Night built it up to have a twist, but there wasn't one. The twist of the whole reality was understanding that, oh, fuck, he actually has these powers.
And I think that was the twist.
Because up until that point, everybody thought he was just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And that was the whole buildup. And then, holy crap, you find out the Beast is real. It's like, that was your twist. That was the whole point. And then you find out that he has a soft spot for the broken. And it's like, okay, we're adding layers to this fucking monster.
Yeah.
And
that's,
like,
I think that's why I'm so very intrigued to see Glass when it comes out, because I think it's going to be like his first real movie without that M. Night twist.
Yeah, no.
Because, like, all these characters coming in, you've already seen the twist. You know that, you know.
You have established
two. So I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really, I'm hoping it's a really solid movie, and it shows.
It's setting up to be one.
Yeah. And that's why I'm kind of freaked out. A, because it's M. Night Shyamalan and there's a lot of haterade for him.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he's a solid director. I think he's a solid storyteller.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think he is too, yeah.
Yeah.
But with Glass coming out, I need to watch Unbreakable again so I know what's happening.
Yeah, watch Unbreakable and then watch Split again just so you kind of are all caught up on the trilogy. And then go watch Glass because it's fixing to be badass.
Yeah, Glass is going to be solid.
It looks really good.
Okay, last chance. Anyone got anything?
I hate Handmaiden's Tale.
Haven't watched it.
Save yourself the heartache. It's a bad show.
The book is rough to get through. It is not an easy read. I am slugging through it.
Fair enough.
Have you watched any of the series?
Yes.
Book better? Okay.
You know,
and on that note.
On that note, we should close this. We've gone a little long today, but
it's 200.
Dude, seriously, 200 episodes. We could not do it with all of you. Without all of you. We could probably do it with
You
know what?
You guys, I'll do it by myself.
I've been awake for almost 3
James's
days.
James's excuses in 3, 2, 1. Go.
I am going to say this started with just me and Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't put those episodes up because we were learning as we went. And it's kind of sad because we had some really fun stuff. We added Big Jim a couple of times, and unfortunately we didn't really realize then that we should have pulled him in then. Then we actually got this show off the ground and we were doing it pretty solid, and then some shit happened and I had to move, and when I moved I met Samantha and I was able to revive it and revitalize it, and we did some really fun and amazing stuff and got fired from our jobs for it
on the same day,
like you do.
And then I was able to come back and I asked Bryce and he was like, no, fuck, I'm in. And then we brought in Big Jim, and it just, the show got better and better. And then Danny came in, and we were able to get Samantha back.
And then it went
back
downhill from there.
And this show means so very much to me because of you guys. And I'm spending an hour a week with some of my closest friends and family. And thank you for continuing to do this with me.
Hear, hear, buddy.
Agreed.
And all thank you to...
We're listening. 1, 2, 3 people.
I know we joke about that, but I do happen to know we have more listeners. And thank you for continuing to listen to this through all of our bullshit, through all of our technical difficulties. And we hope that we're here for another 200 episodes. So
we're out of that.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Review us on iTunes.
Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.